This is the Living Spit Podcast. Welcome to the Living Spit Podcast. Listen to the Living Spit Podcast. It's on the way.
Hello.
Well, here we are.
It is the Living Spit Podcast.
Yes.
We are here.
We are. Where are we?
We are in the car park.
Yeah.
Of Corfe Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're saying it like that, like you're surprised.
Well, I'm
by
imagining
this.
It from the audience's point of view.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're in the car park. We're in the back of my van.
You're joking?
No, I'm not joking. I'm telling the truth.
We are in the back of Howard's van for a very special episode of the Living Spit Podcast, live from Corfe Castle.
Yeah.
Or rather, live from the back of your van in the car park of Corfe Castle.
Yeah. Now, there's an interesting thing about Corfe Castle. Well, there's several interesting things about Corfe Castle. Yeah. One is that a lot of people call it Corfe. So that you've got Corfe, the village,
right,
and Corfe Castle,
okay,
the castle.
Yeah.
Not true. The whole village is called Corfe Castle.
Is that right?
Yeah. There you go.
Which explains why we're playing at the Corfe Castle Village Hall this evening.
We are.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
So this is Saturday. This is the last night of our Arts Reach tour,
it
isn't
is.
It?
It is, yeah. Yeah, the last night of a three-leg run.
Well, I like to call it the Isle of Man tour. Three legs.
I see, yeah.
That's not great.
It's not great.
No.
That's not great. But we'll keep it in.
Yeah.
Because I think people deserve to know the truth about you. we are in Howard's van, as he said. The door is open. It's gloriously sunshiny.
Yes, sunny, word? I think sunny. The word you're looking for.
Gloriously sunny. It's a beautiful day. We're next to a field with some horses in.
Yeah, you just said hello to the horses, didn't
I did. I went
yeah,
to say
and we
hello.
Took a picture. So if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, and if you don't,
you should.
Then you can see those pictures of Stu fondling. I don't think that's too strong a word.
I don't think it is.
A horse.
Yeah, lucky you. You get to see that picture. Before we crack into the actual podcast, Howard, what do you say we go to some comments from
the audience?
We
haven't got a jingle
for
that.
No, there's no jingle
for that.
What are
we
going
to do? No, we could do one now.
Go on then.
Comments from the audience.
It was so brilliant.
That was great.
That's
I think we'll just keep that.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so do you want to do the first one?
I will.
It's
now, we should explain that some of these comments we're not put into the last podcast we did. We've done one... We've done one podcast since we came, since we finished all our shows, basically.
Yes, yeah.
Since we sort of came back after the summer.
That's right, yeah.
And these are actually comments that were from the last one of the one before we
of
went
the series,
away.
Yes, before we went.
But we forgot to do them last time. So
they're like 3 months old.
Yeah.
Some of these
so hopefully some of these people are still alive.
Yeah. Apologies if you are still alive and still listening.
Yeah.
Apologies for waiting so long to get your comments in, but you know, better late than never.
Yeah.
I say.
Yeah. Now this is a comment from Tom T. Another top-notch podcast. Guys, taking my lead from Pip and David Phillips, I thought I would shed further light on the varying ages of your audience. I am myself a mere 26 years old.
Wow.
I think some might still refer to me as a spring chicken.
Definitely one of our youngest listeners, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had an idea for a prototype design for your hello t-shirt.
Oh, go on, mate.
I was thinking about having the elongated hello emblazoned across the pectoral region. Is it pectoral or pectoral?
I don't know.
Please call in, write in to let us know whether it's pectoral or pectoral.
Yeah, definitely. Can't
if you've got any medical qualifications. region of the shirt with the head of Howard or Stu positioned just above the last O and the other person's head just below the H.
Mm, yeah, right, I can see
that.
It in my mind. Yeah. Yeah.
As for the back of the t-shirt, I thought it could say anything from "I'm an LSP listener,"
like it,
or "I'm a spithead."
Yeah, I like that as well.
The back of the t-shirt could also include a list of the features used on the podcast, or phrases like "I've got one ear from Sumas." The possibilities are endless. Well, they've come to an end,
really.
No idea if I've described the design I have in my head or not, but I tried.
You did, and that's what counts, Tom.
P.S. Thanks once again for keeping us entertained through lockdown and look forward to hearing from you chaps again soon. Well, you are hearing from
you
us.
You certainly are. Well, thank you, Tom T. It's lovely to hear from you again.
Yeah, and, thanks for being so patient.
Yeah,
with
for
us.
Coming up with a very good idea for our T-shirt. Now, Tom, if you make it, we'll wear them. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, we will. If those T-shirts get made, we will put them on and take a picture of ourselves.
Yeah, and we'll sell some, and we'll give you, I don't know, what,
20%?
0.5%? Oh, okay.
Oh, right, okay.
We'll meet someone in the middle.
I'm an extra large student.
I'm a large.
Get it done, Tom.
Get it done, Tom, and we'll wear them.
Yeah.
Right, we got one from Susan here. She's a new contributor. She's not heard from Susan.
It's Susan Warren Cox, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because she's a vet, isn't she?
She's a vet, of course she is. Hi, Susan. She says, just catching up on podcasts and heard you talking about the Coggins test in horses. I thought you might like to know that there is also a Knott's test in the veterinary world.
Wow.
Wow, we should speak to Tom Knott about this.
Yeah, we should.
She says it's a specific stain for looking for heartworm larvae on blood smears.
Wow. Ooh,
that sounds disgusting, but very interesting. She says, also, I have a question for Handyman Howard, if he's willing to branch out into the gardening sector. Are you, Howard?
Yes.
Well, we'll find out what that is later on when we get to Handyman Howard.
Okay,
thanks,
great.
Thanks, Susan.
So the next one is from Blyatt. The next... leave that in. The next one's from Brian Glasson.
Or Brian Glasson, as we're going to call him from now on.
Thinking about your dodgy song lyrics slot, we wondered if you might share our irritation about Bonnie Tyler's being a little bit terrified Total Eclipse of the Heart. We think you could either be a little bit anxious or nervous, but surely you're either terrified or you're
not.
That's true. Probably just us, though. We should just let it go a little bit. I have to say, I'm with you, Brian.
I'm with you as well. You can't be a little bit pregnant, can you?
You could be like really terrified.
Yeah.
But you can't be a little bit terrified.
Terrified.
I was really terrified.
Yeah, I was totally terrified. There's something wrong about it though, isn't there? He's right. Bless you for getting in touch.
Have you got any dodgy song lyrics this week?
I
don't think I have.
No, I don't.
We should have thought of that, shouldn't we?
Do one off the top of your head.
It's like thunder, lightning, the way you love me is frightening.
Yeah, I think that's quite good.
Do you
think so?
I just think it's a bit lazy, isn't it?
It is a little bit
lightning
lazy.
And frightening.
I have been writing a song for the end of Beauty and the Beast at the moment. I was really pleased with it. I sent it to you, didn't I? That song.
Yeah.
You liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
And I listened to it again,
yeah.
And I realised, oh shit, I've rhymed way with way. I've just rhymed it with itself. That's not a rhyme, is it?
No, I've done that in another song, but I've done thinking and thinking.
But that's intentional.
But that's intentionally, because I knew how much it would irritate you.
Yeah, but I like, because that's such a silly song, it worked, but this one is like the big ending, and I've done a Chris Martin on it, so I'm going to have to rethink that, so it's a bit of a sore point. Anyway, we got, thank you, Brian.
You got cream for that.
Yeah, you were.
You got a sore point.
I'll do this in the style of Craig, as if Craig was here. He's not here today, so. I've got one from Sue Mercer here. So Sue Mercer's been in touch. Hi, Sue. She says, hi, guys. It must be a great feeling to be back on stage again. It is. And I hope Howard's camper has heating, as it's getting colder by the day.
Well, I can answer that,
go on,
Sue. The camper does have heating.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's so well insulated, I never put it on.
No.
To be honest, when we're doing a gig, I don't get in the camper till at least 10 o'clock.
Right.
So it's nearly bedtime anyway.
Yeah.
And I make a cup of tea, and that sort of warms the burner on the stove. I'm sure it's not recommended, but just your body heat. It's not a very big van. So,
it's not.
So yeah, we don't put the heater on.
No.
Also, the heater's really noisy.
Is it?
But we do have a heater.
Lovely today here. So it's not getting that cold at the moment.
No, it's not.
Okay, I'll carry on. On the recommendation of your producer, Ali, I bought some Belvita soft bake biscuits as they were on offer in Asda. Unfortunately, I had to eat them all, as no one else liked them. But Ali sounded delightful. More of him, please.
And there's
an emoji with a heart eye.
Sue Mercer.
Wow.
He's very much in demand. He's like an international man of mystery, isn't he?
He really is.
Robertson.
But sadly, he is taken, Sue.
Yeah.
So. She says, best of luck for the Minac performances. Wish I could be there. I was fascinated to hear about the Bantham swoosh. So much goes on in the Southwest. Look forward to seeing you soon. XX.
Yeah. Well, so much does go on in the Southwest. That's why we live there. Yeah. Here.
And again, I'm glad to see Sue's got her kisses, her trademark kisses at the end.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sue.
Two kisses. Always two from Sue. That's what I
always
think.
Always two from Auntie Sue.
Yeah, always two from Auntie Sue. And we do very much think of you as an auntie.
A fond
Sue.
Auntie.
Fond auntie. Yeah. I don't even know how old you are. You're probably younger than us.
I'm probably younger than us, yeah. Well, hello, Sue. Thanks for getting in touch again. Okay, so that's the end of the comments.
Now, it's got in red, Stu, and you wrote this running order today.
It
says, encourage people to comment and tell them where they can get in touch.
Right, in that case,
so
well,
why don't you
please
do that?
Comment. And we love hearing from you, so please get in touch with us. And you can get in touch via our Facebook page. It's normally Facebook, isn't it? We do encourage people to get in touch on other platforms, but nobody really ever does.
No, so Facebook.
Facebook's probably the one.
Or on the Podbean when you're listening to it, or you can email. I mean, it's
just
all
DM us, yeah?
Yeah, man.
DM us. So, yeah, please get in touch. We love hearing from our audience and whoever listens to this. So thank you so much for your comments. Okay, so here we are at Corfe Castle. And Howard,
yeah,
I've got a very special treat for you.
Right.
Because last night I was in my travel lodge in pool.
You're not going to tell me what you were doing, are you?
Well, I am, but it's not what you think.
Oh, right, okay.
I was actually researching the history of the Tudors at Corfe Castle.
Nice.
I know. And
what you've done, you've crashed both of the relevant things about today together.
I have.
In an interesting and entertaining
way.
Well,
that's the hope.
Yeah.
Now, did you know, Howard?
Yeah. That when... Well, I did, because I can read it.
You can read it,
I read it off the same bit of paper.
Before you read it off this bit of paper. Did you know that when Henry VII became king, he granted Corfe Castle to his mother, Margaret, Countess of Richmond.
Ah, no, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop you there.
Go on.
So that means his sister, Margaret,
was
named after her mother.
Wow.
His mother.
That was very common back then, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Because Henry VII had Henry VIII.
Yes, yeah.
It's quite unimaginative, though, isn't it? I mean, if you have a little baby, what should we call it? Oh, Stew.
Yeah. Oh. I always said you shouldn't have called your daughter Stew.
I couldn't help it. She looked like a stew. What could I say, you know? The mother, Margaret, Countess of Richmond, survived her son, Henry VII, by 1 year. And upon her death, Howard, in the very first year of the reign of Henry VIII, the castle again reverted to the crown.
Right.
Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah?
Because I read it off the same thing that you're reading.
Have you got any did you know facts for
me? Do you know what? I have.
What have you got?
Well, did you know?
Yeah, go on.
That in the 27th year of his reign, Henry VIII, and we're doing a show about him tonight, granted the castle and manor of Corfe, together with the island of Purbeck, to his illegitimate son, Henry Fitzroy.
Wow.
Now, interesting thing here.
Go on.
When it says, when somebody's got Fitz at the beginning of their name, like Fitzwilliam or Fitzpatrick or Fitz, it means illegitimate son
is
of.
That right?
Yeah. And Fitzroy is from the French, which is Fitzroi.
Which
roi means king.
Does it?
So Fitzroy are descended from illegitimate sons of kings.
That makes sense. So he's Henry, illegitimate son of the king.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't even know he had illegitimate.
I don't know he had any official ones. I thought it was a bit like Charles Manson. Well, like lots of people claim to be the illegitimate son.
But Henry Fitzroy must have been.
Must have been, because it's in the name.
And he's got the name.
Well, every day's a school day. Yeah.
And but on his death the following year, the estate again reverted to the crown and remained a royal possession until Henry VIII's death, when it was annexed as a private property by Seymour, Earl of Hertford and Duke of Somerset.
Wow.
The guardian and protector of the youthful King Edward VI.
Who's
who
in
was,
the show?
Yes, and who was Jane Seymour's son. Son? No,
yeah.
Brother.
No, King Edward VI. The little boy that she had with
Henry. But he, the Seymour, the projector, was her uncle, wasn't it?
So
it was
Edward's uncle.
Yeah, the same one that that was the same one that had it away with.
Is that the one we'd put in Elizabeth?
In Elizabeth, yeah.
Is that right? So that's Thomas Seymour.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
On the fall of that noble, powerful noble in 1553, it once more became a royal castle.
Well, I didn't know that, Howard.
You did?
I did, because I researched it last night and wrote it down. But did you know, Howard?
Yeah, because I'm reading it. But go on, carry
did
on.
Did you know that until the 14th year of Elizabeth I's reign, when all rights over the manor and the castle, as well as the Isle of Purbeck, were granted to Sir Christopher Hatton, a knight?
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
Sir Christopher spent a small fortune restoring and improving the castle, making it a prestigious home with fine furnishings, tapestries, and indeed silks.
I've got a brilliant fact about that.
Go on.
Sir Christopher Hatton was actually a he was an ancestor of Derek Hatton, the leader of the of Liverpool Council.
Is
in
that
the
right?
No, it's not.
Right.
They've just got the same name.
I think he's also the great-great-great-great-grandfather of that boxer. What's his name?
Ricky Hatton.
Ricky Hatton, yeah. Yeah, you can see the resemblance in the pictures.
Yeah.
Mostly, Sir Christopher Hatton's wearing a pair of boxing gloves. It's a dead giveaway.
Well, you could always tell Christopher, because he always had a hat on.
I'm tempted to throw you out of this van, but it's yours, so I can't.
Exactly.
So there's a bit of factage.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I liked it a lot, Stuart. Yes, well done you. That's
well,
all I'm going to say.
It's going to be weird performing the show about Henry, knowing that, you know, all
it's
that.
Not. I won't give it a second thought, I'll be honest. Yeah.
Just do it and go home.
How would you say, Stu,
the
tour with Artsreach is going so far?
I think it's going really well. We're on our, this will be our fourth performance of this show since we came back.
Yeah.
Two of those so far have been with Artsreach, haven't they? Is that right? Was
the first one wasn't in Dorset.
No. It's been going really, really well. The audiences have been obviously a lot smaller.
Yeah.
There's been 30 odd in a big hall. They've been sort of socially distanced and wearing masks.
Yeah,
so that's been
a
little bit odd. But actually, last night you got a bit thrown by the fact that they weren't wearing masks.
I know. Well, so I'd prepared an ad lib.
Yeah. Yeah, you had, didn't you? And you didn't get to use it.
I didn't get to use it. I won't tell you what it is in case you come and see the show.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed because I didn't get to prepare my. I didn't get to use my
your
carefully
mask.
Scripted ad libs.
Yeah, well, it works if they're wearing masks. And last night, I think it's the rule that if they're drinking, obviously you can't drink with a mask on.
No.
And they were all drinking last night, which makes us better, doesn't it? Because the drunker they are, the funnier
that's
we are.
That's our catchphrase,
that's
isn't it?
Our maxim. It's been great though. They've been really responsive. The halls have been lovely as always.
Yeah.
And we've
did say halls, didn't you?
The halls.
It sounded a bit like whores, and I thought
the whores.
I wouldn't want our wives to think we were like enjoying ourselves too
much.
When
we go on tour, they always provide some prostitutes for us to entertain ourselves with between shows. It's been great.
Got an email. Hang on.
It's the joke police.
I'm glad I turned my phone off.
Yeah. Good job. Very professional. How would you say it's going?
I've enjoyed it. A lot, actually. There's always a mixed thing about village halls, right? Because in essence, as an actor, you kind of sort of think, oh, I'm going to go to a village hall.
Yeah.
And this is where my career's taken me, playing to village halls in Dorset. But that is nonsense, because it is actually the nicest places to play. It's just, you know, getting your professional head off and getting your personal head on, and personally they're brilliant, because
they are. Yeah,
we always get fed as well. This is what you might not know about playing village halls. They always feed us, because if you're in the middle of nowhere, which you often are, there's often nowhere to get any food, so you always like do the get in and then you sit down and somebody's prepared
somebody comes,
you know, Cheryl comes or whatever with a hot pot, and you kind of eat it, and it's so brilliant, and then everybody's so lovely to you afterwards.
Yeah.
We totally love it.
It's lovely. The thought, I was eating my dinner last night, actually, and I was thinking, isn't it lovely that somebody has, they've now not met me, but they've thought about me today.
Yeah.
Like, while I was travelling down here, that I was being thought of by a stranger.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so lovely. The hospitality is just, it's wonderful. And also, the audiences are different to a theatre audience. They're kind of, they're just so pleased that you've come to see them, to be in their village, and there's something really lovely about that. Also,
well, you don't get that thing of them sitting back, and like, you know, obviously our theatre audiences are amazing too, but sometimes, especially on Friday or Saturday night, people are kind of, they're dressed up, and they come out and they go, come on then, entertain me.
Yeah, totally.
And they've paid often a lot more money, so you hardly blame them, but it's something nice about it being sort of quite informal. People basically having low expectations, which makes it easier for us to surpass them.
Yeah, people often come up to us in village halls after and go, it was really good, like surprised.
Yeah.
You go, oh, well, thanks, you needn't be so surprised. But so that's a lovely thing. What do you say your favourite thing about Taunton village halls are?
Well, all the things I've already said, really. Yeah. The food's great, and
food
the kind of
great.
The welcome that you get from people. We were talking about it last night. I mean, 99% of the time you get a great welcome. Occasionally you don't, but that is definitely the exception to the rule.
Definitely, yeah.
People are just really nice, and they're really kind of, it's just really nice to go into somebody else's community and check it out, really, and kind of, they feel like ownership of it in a way that you don't get in a theatre.
Yeah.
And that's a good and bad thing.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Yeah. One of the things I miss most about doing it in the COVID time is that you used to get to stay at people's houses.
I know.
People would put you up. And you do the show, and then a little old lady or a man comes up to you and goes, right, you're coming back with me now, aren't you? I've made the bed up for you.
Yeah.
And like, you go in the room, and there's like, you know...
I'm just thinking
it's
about...
It's like a taxidermist. Yeah.
That actually happened, didn't it?
Yes, yeah. I think it's Sean, if you're listening. I went into his room. He was a lovely fella, lovely family, and he said, you're in there. I walked into the room, and he's got sort of between 20 and 30 sort of taxidermy birds in cages in various... poses of attack. I looked up and there was an owl with its talons over my head. I was like, shit. But that was an experience. But it was a wonderful place to live. I mean, it's great to see people's houses, and I just love chatting to people and seeing.
And we've had great. Do you remember? Like often there's cheese.
Cheese. There's always cheese.
Yeah. Or they say come back afterwards and have some cheese.
Want some cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I remember we took. When we did Swan Lake, we took Fran and Josh, and they hadn't done village halls before, and it was kind of, this was the very first one, and Josh came through the thing, and this lady came up to him and went, "Are you one of the dancers?"
And then followed up with, "You're staying with me tonight."
Now we made her sound like that. She probably didn't sound at all.
Like that at all,
but it became a bit of a running joke because he's a good looking fella.
He is a good looking
fella. You've been picked up in a hall in Dorset.
So those are the amazing things about touring to village halls. We love it, and we love Artsreach, don't we? Let's just briefly go into our association with Artsreach. We started out working with them about... Well, it was the first tour,
7 or 8 years ago it was. We did our first tour of Henry, and we did a few nights with Artsreach, and we met that gang, and they are just brilliant.
They are brilliant.
I mean, all the rural touring organisations... So we should explain, when we talk about rural touring organisations, So the Arts Council fund
water while you do this,
the Arts Council fund various organisations to bring shows like ours out into rural communities where it's difficult to get to a theatre, and there are lots of different schemes. We tend to do the southwest ones. There's Villages in Action and Carnter Cove in Devon and Cornwall, and then there's
Arts Alive
in Somerset. And Artsreach is the Dorset one of these, they're just brilliant.
They
bring us out, and they bring all sorts of art down. It's not just theatre; they bring dance and music all to the village halls. And we worked with them back in the beginning, and we've just come every time with them.
Yeah.
And we've really kind of found a little niche in Dorset.
We really have, and they're one of the only organisations, or at least one of the first, that when all this happened with the pandemic, they got in touch with us to see what we could do and whether we could. They're quite forward thinking, and they've got their eye on the whole multimedia angle, and they asked us whether we could, you know, film a show, and we actually ended up filming one of these shows this week, haven't we?
The
Thursday nights,
and it's being shown tomorrow night for us.
Yeah, but when this comes out,
it'll be too late, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But so they filmed that, and people are going to be able to watch that.
Yeah. And that's a new thing for us. We've never done that before. So
it was a bit weird, wasn't it?
It was a bit weird.
It's really weird. You kind of suddenly start thinking about the detail of your performance,
absolutely,
don't you? Which we never really do.
No.
So you kind of go, "Oh, I made a little mistake there,"
yeah,
and that kind of like knocks you off for a little while because you kind of think, "Oh, that's like now, you know, forever."
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that was a bit the pressure of, I certainly felt the pressure of the filming happening, but I think in all it was a great show.
People
enjoyed it, people laughed, so if you saw that on Sunday night, or if you're gonna see it on Sunday night depending on when this comes out, I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, that was a nice thing to do.
It was a lovely thing to
do. It was free as well, to watch, but the donations were encouraged. And talking of which, donations are encouraged by us.
Nice.
As well,
that was
Howard.
Almost like a proper like radio segue.
That's right. We do encourage any donations you want to give us, of course. And we have a GoFundMe page to that effect. The website of that is, Howard?
It is.
It's not written down, so don't look at
that. That was rotten.
Yeah, basically, the website address is really long and difficult to remember. So I would say go to the GoFundMe website and do a search for Living Spit, and you'll find us, and you can give us whatever you can. It really helps to keep things going in the dark times of COVID-19.
Or just Google GoFundMe Living Spit.
You'll find it there.
Great. So we got some other news as well.
Exciting
news.
Very exciting news. So we're doing this show at the moment with Artsreach, and then next week we're at the Theatre Shop in Clevedon. All sold out. Can't get yourself a ticket. But the following week, Howard, where are we?
We are at the Minnack Theatre in Cornwall. And I have been hearing about this theatre for years and years and years. Everybody talks about every time you say you're in the theatre, people go, "Oh, have you played at the Minnack?"
Yeah.
And all of us are forced to go, never even been there. So I've never been there. Stu, despite working in Cornwall has never been to the Minnack. And even Trimmo, who toured with everybody, our stage manager, she's never been to the Minnack either.
No.
So we're really excited to be going to the Minnack at the end of the month.
Yes.
The only slight problem with it is that it is the end of the month.
Yeah,
it is like October, end of October, November, and it is outdoors. So we're a bit kind of, we're a bit trepidatious about the weather.
Yeah. There's no contingency plan for if it rains. If it rains, we get very wet.
Yeah.
And the audience can put umbrellas up, but we can't because we haven't written them into the show. So, it will be an exhilarating experience, I am sure. And the tickets for that are now on sale. You can get your tickets at minac.com. Very straightforward website there, minac.com.
But we're really excited about that.
We are very excited.
And then also, there's very exciting news.
What's that?
Well, I'll tell you, Stu.
Go on.
Well, Living Spit came about because 11 years ago, actually, 10 or 11 years ago, we had an idea for a show.
That's right.
The Six Wives of Henry VIII, and a little theatre in the West Country called the Bristol Old Vic, who we both had experience of working, sort of were very kind to us, weren't they? And they said, well, you can put it on if you like. We are going to go back to the place where Henry was born, not the literal Henry VIII. Our show, Six Wives of Henry VIII, was born.
Yeah, and we actually are playing on the very spot we first did it, because we performed the scratch performance, which was when we do a kind of tryout of the show. We did that in what was then the New Vic Studio. Now, that's since all been knocked down and renovated and made into the foyer of what is now the Bristol Old Vic, and that is where we're performing it, in the foyer.
It'll be pretty much the exact spot where we did it.
Certainly,
I think.
Will.
So that's really exciting, we're doing it. We're doing six performances over 3 days.
Crikey!
Oh, God,
did Ali book that?
Yeah, he did.
Some words
with him. Yeah.
So
that's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah, I think it's the 4th, 5th, and 6th of November.
It's the 4th, 5th, and 6th of November.
Yeah, if that's the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, let's
have a look. I will actually have a look.
And while he's looking, I'll tell you that you can get your tickets for that. They've just gone on sale, kind of two days ago.
It's the 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
There we go. 3rd, 4th, and 5th of November.
Of November.
Remember the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of November. You can get your tickets for that now. They've just gone on sale a couple of days ago. You can get those at bristololdvic.org.uk.
Yes, you can, Stuart.
Any other news?
Well, there's news about Christmas, but I'm not sure we're allowed to.
We're not going to announce it yet.
I know. We could tease it, though, couldn't we?
I don't know how we tease it.
So we've been working on a show for... Well, it's not a Christmas show, because we've decided that we're not going to do Christmas shows anymore, because you can only do them 4 weeks a year.
Yeah,
and it kind of ruins the...
It does. There's no shelf life.
No.
It? We'll call it a
festive show. A winter show.
A winter show.
So we're going to be doing that. We've finished writing in the first draft
we
of
have
it.
Yeah, we're about to do a second draft, and then that's going to go to be a rehearsal draft.
Yes.
And then we'll take that into rehearsals and probably write it again in rehearsal.
Yeah, almost.
I mean, Craig gets his mucky little hands on it.
And so we're going to be doing that from basically the beginning of December. Now we can't. I don't think we can tell you what that is.
It's been announced.
Has it?
In a previous
We're doing
podcast.
Beauty and Beast.
The last podcast with the news. That it was Beauty and the Beast.
Now. Yes. So we've been working on that. It's all finished. But first bit of it's finished.
It's cooking along, isn't it?
We've got some exciting news about the Bristol venue for that, but we can't tell you that.
That's still in negotiation, so we'll keep you abreast of those developments as and when they boob come in.
What?
I just had an extra
You're such
breast
a tit.
Reference.
Ah!
The Bristol's Old Vic. Right, so, thank you. So that's all the news.
Right.
Shall we move on?
Let's move in. Questions from the audience.
And now for some audience questions.
Oh, that lovely jingle. I've missed it.
I've missed it too. We're a bit low on jingles at the beginning of the show. Whenever I edit this podcast, I always think, oh, God, I've got to put a jingle in here. I haven't put one in for half of it. So I think we do need a jingle for the beginning.
We set new features, don't we?
Like,
Stu speaks a complete sentence, and then I'll just say a sentence.
I think that's a terrible idea.
I do too. Yeah. I don't know why I said it.
No.
Let's move on.
Right. So, Zoom, I got one here from...
Oh, we miss you, Craig.
Well, a little bit. I thought Beauty and the Beast was to be at Bristol Old Vic on the 28th of December, but can't find it on their website. Do you have any Bristol dates yet?
Well,
please?
We just said, Sue, we don't know
where it's going to be yet.
We don't know where it's going to be.
I don't know where you got that information from.
No. Yeah, did we put that out there?
I don't think so.
She's obviously heard something on the grapevine, which may or may not be erroneous, but we cannot comment on that. So, Sue, you're just gonna have to watch this space or listen to this space.
Shouldn't be too long.
Won't
Sue.
Be too long. Keep watching, and you'll find out when those dates are, yeah. If indeed they are.
Yes. This one really makes me laugh.
Go on.
I shouldn't, but you know you can do it. It's okay. Not. Sorry, Brian. It's not a brilliant joke, but it does make me laugh like
okay.
a schoolboy.
Right. I'm going to ask it in a serious way.
Okay.
I'm going to give Brian the benefit of the doubt and assume he means this seriously.
Okay.
This is from Brian Glasson. He says, "Have either of you ever had a Dorset knob? I find them a bit hard in the mouth unless you dunk them first."
It is funny.
He's talking about the biscuit, Howard,
know,
isn't he?
I know.
Come on, what do you think he means?
The biscuit.
Have you ever had a Dorset knob?
I'm not sure I have. Is it a biscuit or is it? I've got a feeling it's some kind of like. Isn't it like a dry like roll thing?
It's
like a cracker, it's like a roll, you know.
But what do you dunk them in then?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up right now.
He's looking it up.
You keep talking.
Okay, well, I've never had a Dorset knob.
You've had a few knobs from elsewhere.
Brilliant.
Though, haven't you?
Absolutely brilliant.
A Dorset knob
is
a hard, dry, savoury biscuit which is now produced only by a single producer for a limited time of the year.
Wow.
Dorset knobs are made from bread dough which contains extra sugar and butter. They're rolled and shaped by hand. They're baked 3 times.
Wow.
Now, they're not a biscuit then, because you know what biscuit actually means?
It means twice cooked.
Twice cooked, yeah. So they're a thriscuit.
A thriscuit. There you go.
They're baked 3 times. Once cooked, they're very crumbly and rather like dry stale bread or rusks in consistency.
Oh, wow.
They're named after their shape's resemblance to Dorset knob buttons. But all have also been compared in size to doorknobs.
Right, well, there you go.
I don't know what Dorset knob buttons are. Oh, they're a button.
A little button.
Just a button.
Yeah. So, Brian, the answer is no, we haven't. Have you? That's it.
Okay, David Phillips.
Hello, hi, David. Oh, good old mate, David Phillips.
Having put on shows all over Dorset, where would you say is your favourite venue and why is the Exchange Sturminster the best?
No, I see what he's done there.
Yeah, it's been very clever.
Nice one, David.
It
is the best, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, we do love it.
It's one of the best.
I don't know, but I wouldn't like to choose one.
It's like saying which of your children is your favourite.
Yes.
You couldn't possibly answer.
Because I've only got one.
Yeah, that's true. I've only got one as well.
Yeah, that's true. So we can.
So we can, yeah.
But if you had more than one child.
Exactly. So thanks, David, but we couldn't possibly comment
But we do very, very much love the Exchange.
We do love the Exchange. And Sharon came to see the show the other night.
She did, yeah. Like, she's probably seen that show about 15
times. Hundreds of
times.
Yeah, but she still came. So hi, Sharon, and thanks for coming the other night.
Sorry we didn't see you.
Yeah, we'd love to see you, Sharon.
Yeah. Okay, David's got another question.
He's got another question. Wow.
Why is Durdle Door
called
a door and not a window? And what do you think it would cost to double glaze it?
It's been very clever, isn't
it?
Again. So Durdle Door is that big bit of rock, isn't it, that you go through it?
Yeah, there was a lot of fuss about when in lockdown, when everybody was allowed to the beach, and loads of people went to Durdle Door.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Did they go through the Durdle Door?
I don't know, but there were some people that jumped off it and got very badly injured.
Oh dear, you don't want to dawdle at the Durdle Door, do you?
No.
So
you could doodle at the Durdle
Door. You could doodle it. Bring some paper. You could doodle at the Durdle.
You could doodle doodling at the Durdle Door.
You could do a doodle at the Durdle Door, couldn't you? Oh my God.
You could do. No, forget it.
Yeah, we'll forget it. Forget. But it's called a Durdle Door, David. I've looked into this because you can go through it. That's why it's not a window, because a window's got a pane of glass. You can't go through it.
Well, you can.
If you open the window. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to open the window.
You'd have to open a door, wouldn't you?
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be called Durdle Doorway, because it's like a doorway, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's no... Anyway, we're spending far too long on this bit.
It's the Durdle bit that
it's
I want to... You know, the door is obvious to me.
Anyway, well, do a doodle of the Durdle Door and send it to us, David. Right, the next one's from PJ Naylor.
Yes.
He says, the Great Dorset Steam Fair. Best day out ever, or hell on earth?
Well, let's find out with Stu's Reviews.
Yes, welcome to another enthralling episode of Stu's Reviews. Now, Howard's sitting back now because he knows he's not on for about 20 minutes now. So, yes, welcome to Stu's Reviews. Now, I've obviously looked into this and I've got some reviews for it being the best day out ever to support that claim and some reviews to support the claim that it's hell on earth. So let's start with best day out ever. Des and Shirley Peden said, what a brilliant first day at the Steam Fair. Everything was spot on. Well done, all the hard workers, for making it such a cracking day. Andrew Williams follows that up with, excellent day at the show, as always. Weather was great, organisation was spot on, and the smells are wonderful. Well done, all. Back there again tomorrow. Well worth the 150-mile round trip every day. Andy Hall says, the historical wars of World War I and World War II section this year is outstanding, all in caps. Congratulations to all involved with it. Graham Eldridge says, awesome. No more needs to be said. And we'll take Graham's cue from that by ending that section. There's a few more, but they all say much the same thing. Lots of support there for it being the best day out ever. Now, in the Hell on Earth camp, Andrew C. says, get plenty of rest the day before, as the distances across the showground will soon wear you out. It's probably a mile from the car park to the far end. The ground conditions will either be a dust bath or a mud bath, depending on the weather. And don't try to see everything in a day. There's simply too much there. Just read the programme and decide what you really want to do.
Wow, that is like there's so much there that he's really angry about it.
Yeah. It's so good that
he's
annoyed.
It's so good that there's a...
It's annoyed him.
Honestly, you really need to... All right.
Yeah, and all right, the next person says, a warning to anyone going next year. We have just returned, and the number of travellers and gypsies there is now unbelievable. My tent and trailer, spelt wrong, was robbed blind. So only take what you can afford to have stolen. Now that, but then that comment did come, Howard, from someone who calls themselves Pikey Hater K. So maybe we should, you know, put it in context.
Yeah, I mean, it does amaze me how much the internet, whilst it's been a brilliant thing, this is a sort of philosophical point now.
Go on.
As just, it encourages people to really not like other people.
Keyboard warriors. You can just get behind your keyboard and be really nasty, can't you?
Yeah, just be nice to people, you know?
And more of that in Howard's End later on.
Oh, yeah.
So,
that's a good idea.
Don't blow your load too early. So in summary, Pip, it sounds like a nice day. I would like to go, I think. But it's been cancelled this year for obvious reasons.
What, because it's too dusty?
Too dusty. Yeah. It's either a dusty or my back. It's a bit of a long walk.
Yeah, and there's just too much there to watch.
Too much there to see. Okay, so we got another question here. This is a final question. And it's a question for none other than Handyman Howard.
If you decorate, it's driving you insane. And the ball cop is just refusing to break. He's here with advice, not for financial gain. It's... Handyman Howard.
Okay, so Handyman Howard, can you answer this question from Susan? Susan Wazakosa, I believe. She says, the squirrels keep pinching the figs off of our tree just before they're ripe. Does Handyman Howard have a suggestion for how to stop them? Thanks.
Well, it's a great question, Susan. I'm surprised of anybody that you're the one asking it, given that you're a vet.
You should be kind to the squirrels.
So, well, maybe. Although, you know, if squirrels needed euthanizing, then I mean, if I knew anybody to euthanize animals, it would be you'd be the person I'd call first. But but if you don't want to catch them in a net and get the pink juice out, then maybe you could humanely trap them and take them to another location. Perhaps you
could Dorset Steam Fair.
Dorset Steam Fair. You could you could train them like Willy Wonka to perform or to maybe perform a useful task in a factory or garden. We do have a mutual friend, I won't say his name, who could probably lend you an air gun to to shoot them. But you'd have to, you know, they're all sorts of safety considerations with that. Or you could just tolerate them, Susan.
Just let them be, Susan.
Let them be. They deserve those figs as much as you
do. Give them a fig.
Those poor, poor little animals. I know you won't be making any money from them because they're wild animals.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's not all about money,
it's
Susan.
It's not all about
it?
Money, Susan. So, just, you know, just relax. That would be my advice.
There we go. Handyman Howard solved another mystery there in the handyman sector, although this one's about animals and trees. Okay, so that's it. We're done.
Yeah, it's
episode.
Quite short today, I think. Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. Timing, but it's felt a bit short. Hasn't it?
Yeah, it's felt short. Sorry if you're disappointed by the brevity of this.
Sorry if you haven't enjoyed this podcast, if it's been too short for you.
But you can always make the podcast longer by sending in questions, comments, that sort, because they always kick off areas of discussion.
They do.
We're going to do some more of these while we're on tour, I think, or during the tour.
At least another one.
Yeah, yeah.
We might do one from the Minac, actually.
Yeah, let's do one from the Minac.
Why don't we do that in a couple of weeks' time?
A couple of weeks' time. So... So yes, please get all your comments and get everything. Get them in because we'll have something to talk about.
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to the final feature on this podcast. It's a listener favourite. It's my favourite. It's your favourite. It's Howard's End.
Howard's End is going to end the show for us. Howard's End.
So, earlier on, we heard from somebody who'd had a disappointing experience at the Dorset Steam Fair, saying, and I quote, "Don't try and see everything in a day. There's simply too much there. Read the programme and decide what you really want to do." Now, I would say to you, to him and you, let's try and find the positive in things. I mean, you could easily have said, there is so much to do. You won't see it all in a day. That's how jam-packed it is. But no, you took the opposite course and made it a negative. We also heard from somebody who said, a warning to anyone going next year, we've just returned and the numbers of travellers, gypsies there is now unbelievable. And I was shocked by this comment because it was a very negative thing to say about other people. And as you know, there is only one epithet which describes my attitude towards life, and that is be kind.
Be kind.
Well, that went on, didn't it?
It did. You really rambled around a little bit there, but you got to be kind in the end, so that's what counts. Okay, well, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
We will.
Get your comments in and all that, and we'll chat about them.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, see you soon.
See you soon. Yeah. But from Corfe Castle, it's goodbye.
But what are we doing? What are we doing?
Let's just goodbye.
Yeah. So, but from Corfe Castle... but from Corfe Castle, it's bye.
Bye.
Oh, that'll do.
That was the Living Spit Podcast.
Goodbye from
the Living Spit Podcast.
You've been listening to
the Living Spit Podcast.
It's gone away.